and he had all these adventures under the sea." His voice drained away under Windle Poon's dreadful stare.
"It's boring," said Windle.
He turned and stared to lurch away into the mist.
"Very, very boring. Very boring indeed."
Sergeant Colon was left alone. He lit a fresh cigarette with a trembling hand and started to walk hurriedly towards the watch headquarters.
"That face," he told himself, "and those eyes. Just like, what's her name? Who's that bloody dwarf who runs the delicatessen on Cable Street?"
"Sergeant!"
Colon froze. Then he looked down. A face was staring up at him from ground level. When he'd got a grip on himself, he made out the sharp features of his old friend, Cut-Me-Own-Throat Dibbler, the Discworld's walking, talking argument in favour of the theory that mankind had descended from a species of rodent. C.M.O.T. Dibbler liked to describe himself as a merchant adventurer. Everyone else liked to describe him as an itinerant peddler whose money-making schemes were always let down by some small but vital flaw, such as trying to sell things he didn't own, or which didn't work, or sometimes didn't even exist. Fairy gold is well known to evaporate by morning, but it was a reinforced concrete slab by comparison to some of Throat's merchandise. He was standing at the bottom of some steps that led down to one of Ankh Morpork's countless cellars.
"Hello, Throat. Would you step down here a minute, Fred? I could use a bit of legal aid." "Got a problem, Throat?"
Dibbler scratched his nose.
"Well, Fred, is it a crime to be given something? I mean, without you knowing it."
"Someone been giving you things, Throat?"
Throat nodded.
"Dunno. You know I keep merchandise down here,"
he said.
"Yeah.
You see, I'll just come down to do a bit of stock-taking, and..."
He waved a hand helplessly.
"Well, take a look."
He opened the cellar door. In the darkness, something went plop. Windle Poons lurched aimlessly along a dark alley in the shades, arms extended in front of him, hands hanging down at the wrists. He didn't know why. It just seemed the right way to go about it. Jumping off a building? No, that wouldn't work either. It was hard enough to walk as it was, and two broken legs wouldn't help. Poison? He imagined it would be like having a very bad stomach ache. Noose? Hanging around would probably be more boring than sitting on the bottom of the river. He reached a noisome courtyard where several alleys met. Rats scampered away from him. A cat screeched and scurried off over the rooftops. As he stood wondering where he was, why he was, and what ought to happen next, he felt the point of a knife against his backbone.
"Okay, Grandad,"
said a voice behind him.
"It's your money or your life."
In the darkness, Windle Poon's mouth formed a horrible grin.
"I'm not playing about, old man," said the voice.
"Are you Thieves Guild?"
said Windle, without turning round.
"No, we're freelancers. Come on, let's see the colour of your money."
"Haven't got any,"
said Windle. He turned around. There were two more muggers behind him.
"Ye gods, look at his eyes,"
said one of them. Windle raised his arms above his head.
"Ooh,"
he moaned. The muggers backed away. Unfortunately, there was a wall behind them. They flattened themselves against it.
"Ooh, bugger off, ooh,"
said Windle, who hadn't realised that the only way of escape lay through him. He rolled his eyes for better effect. Maddened by terror, the would-be attackers dived under his arms, but not before one of them had sunk his knife up to the hilt in Windle's pigeon chest. He looked down at it.
"Hey, that was my best robe," he said. "I wanted to be buried in it. Will you look at it? You know how difficult it is to darn silk. Come back here this instant. Look at it, right where it shows."
He listened. There was no sound but the distant and retreating scurry of footsteps. Windle Poons removed the knife.
"Could have killed me,"
he muttered, tossing it away. In the cellar, Sergeant Colon picked up one of the objects that lay in huge drifts on the floor.
"There must be thousands of them,"
said Throat behind him.
"What I want to know is who put them there."
Although not common on the Discworld, there are indeed such things as anti-crimes, in accordance with the fundamental law that everything in the multiverse has an opposite.